Let's see, what's in the news today?
Closing main breaker.
It's been over a week, so we'll see what we can do. We've got a lot of ground to cover.
We've been fighting off the alligators, though, folks.
Yeah. Been reading about that. Alligators are eating people down here in Florida.
I wonder what that 23-foot alligator, I mean, how many people did that? You know, it's 40 years old, at least. They grow slowly after they get 3 years old.
Well, one thing I did notice, is one of the articles said they found arms in the alligators. I guess that's where those people are putting their guns and stuff, huh? somebody's arm. I'm sorry.
It's their right. It's an alligator's right to eat arms, you know?
That's it. That's great. Now, we're having a good time. I want to say EJ is here with us.
Good to see you. Good to be back.
That's great. And our erstwhile attorney, Curtis.
Hello.
And our most famous and most worthwhile engineer, Eric.
That's the IT genius.
That's right.
Him, we would not be.
And Jimmy Doan is on.
Miss Jim.
We did want to say hello to Patty, who sent us some stuff and appreciate it.
Patty.
She's supposed to write us a review, I think.
Cool.
On iTunes or something. It turns out on one of those podcasts, you only have to have like two or three votes to get into. We're like number 300 or something.
Right.
If you get like two votes, you get to like number 72.
That's good.
Yeah, so we have
to. And we vote for ourselves.
Yeah, but I don't believe in that. I vote for other people. You know, I believe in the karma or something.
I'll tell you, there's a few reviews I could write about some other podcasts I listen to.
We never disparage the competition, we do want to say, of course, Hanger Dogs.
Yes, Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs always a blast. Those guys are, they've got their mugs, everything.
And
we are getting our stickers, aren't we?
Well, I hope. Well,
yeah, you did a great job.
Have our logo.
The logo.
Brilliant.
Now, are you going to put the logo first?
Sure.
Well, okay, but we want to get those stickers. If somebody out there, by the way, has got a really good sticker price, like 20 cents each
and
or
coffee
something.
Mug. I want a jacket.
3 cents each.
What we want is one of those, like, biker jacket with the big thing. That's right. About 12 inches across on the back with our...
Exactly.
That'd be so cool.
Generalissimo jacket.
That's right. Anyway, did want to mention that Oklahoma City has nudged out Las Vegas, which is good news and bad news. At least Nevada.
But the odds are up.
Nevada is, our listenership is obviously going crazy. I'll mention that here. Nevada is still the number two state.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the city, you know, we need to get those people from Henderson and Reno.
Time to go to Vegas and do some gambling.
That's it. So if you get a message, I'm going to try a little experiment. I might put a little Jimmy Doan only thing on my other website. So if somebody gets some...
What's your other website?
It's JD Show. Yeah. So if you get something from JD Show, don't panic. It's not spam. Well, it is.
Panic.
It is spam. That's right.
It definitely runs the hill.
It is spam. That's right. So anyway, we did want to say hello to. I was going through some of our visitors, and we got a brand new one from Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who is in Litchfield, New Hampshire, but we keep getting either this is one person that goes to every cyber cafe in Litchfield, or she is telling all her buddies or something. Two new ones from Japan.
Irasshaimase.
There you go. Perfect.
Konnichiwa.
And Chile is big. I'm getting. I don't know what the story is on Chile, but that's.
Well, you've been down in all those South American.
Well, I think it has to do with the Espanol al día, whatever.
Right. And hello to Jordan too.
Jordan, that's right, and that's.
Yeah, actually, we did a. I did the graphics for, the King of Jordan's home theater. I had to, put the presidential seal on there and everything. It was pretty neat, and got a hot wife, you know.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. Queen Noor.
That's right.
Hello to the Queen.
Hi, Queen.
Right.
I like the worship of those calves.
That's right. Well, you got paid in what kind of money?
No, dollars. It's a Crestron automation system. You have touch panels that controls everything. It's really cool. It's got a projector and all kinds of neat stuff. And anyway.
Okay. So anyway, what I want to talk about today, we got a bunch of things, and we might bust this show into two pieces, so don't panic yet. Let's see what... Okay, fine. By the way, it is what, Monday the 15th or something?
Yep.
Okay, Monday the 15th.
I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day. Hi, Mom. Everything. We had a good time. We had a great time. I want to talk about the immigration stuff, which is big. George is going to give, actually, he's going to start his speech in about 7 minutes, as I understand. We're going to miss that, which we actually won't miss anything. And
Killing Fields has started.
Yeah, right. Well, one thing I did do, we're going to talk about the immigration, about the security thing, domestic spying. which also has to do with the new genetic code base, that the DNA code base that if somebody wants to come up with. Then we might move on to endangered species, so the enviro stuff that's really coming down the pike.
I believe that would be the human species if we're not careful.
Libertarians, anyway.
Yeah, well, right. That's right. And then pretty oil, dangerous. Of course, oil in Venezuela, Bolivia, big oil, Latin America, everything like that. And then there's a bunch of stuff happening on the, which is my favorite, one of my favorite subjects is the education front. I thought it was interesting that all 50 states got an F. I mean, that's, you talk about a failure rate. I mean, how do you like that? So we're going to talk about that. Let me start off with this, with the immigration thing. And I did want to mention, of course, I won some more stuff on eBay.
Huh.
I won.
You won.
Hello, we won. We win.
Well, I'll tell
you
what we won. I have been desperately searching for that because I want to put it on the website. I've been desperately searching for that cartoon that Hagar cartoon I've been talking about, right. Which is the one, in case you haven't listened to the show before, is the one where Hagar says, we're going to take this castle. And how are we going to do it? And Hagar says, we sneak in, we grab the loot, we escape. And Lucky Eddie says, tricky. And it's a great cartoon because to me, it reminds me, and I think that some of these, Neil Bortz and some of these people are really off the path on this immigration thing. What they do is they say, seal the border, send them home. Well, no, this is the same thing. You know, sneak in, grab the loot, and escape. It's not that easy. Nobody, and Rush today, for instance, was talking about, somebody called up and said virtual border, and they're talking about fences and this, that, and the other thing. But I don't think that anybody realizes what 11 million people look like or more. I mean, that's a lot of folks.
5% of them.
Nor what 1,800 miles look like.
Yeah, well, we talked about this once. The fact is, 1,800 miles, exactly. 1,800 miles of border from Brownsville to California.
How long is the Great Wall of China? 1,200 yards? 1,200 meters,
1,200 meters, right? 1,200 inches, right?
Micrometers.
But I have talked to people about this, and they've said, "Well, we can do it. You know, put a man on the moon. You know, we can do anything, right? Okay, yeah." You know, it's just amazing to me how that always comes about. This
at
is
what
a,
cost,
right? Well, that's the thing, and I can't tell you. You know, we talked about this. What was the? And we're going to get this in the education thing too. Some judge came out and said, "What did he say, Curtis?" He said. It was he said something about the cost in
education. No, you're talking about the endangered species thing where they've called it incalculable.
Cost. Okay, well, we're going to get to that later. Words, but here's my point is that the people don't think about the cost, and there is a cost involved. I mean, what happens if it costs $1 trillion? I mean, I'm sorry, and that's what it's going to end up costing.
Well, and then it's going to cost us a lot more when all those people... We don't get any services, like the golf courses
Let me tell you.
That's going to happen. Yeah, I'd like to see the water cut off from a golf course. Let's see Dom DeLay.
Not the water.
A brown hole.
The maintenance. In other words, I was watching this special, and this guy's got a...
With Caddyshack?
He's got a farm, and he's advertising $8.75 an hour, and he can't get anybody local to work for that, so
he should offer $80 an hour and see how many he gets.
Right, and then of course when you go to buy new trees for your house, those costs are probably going to migrate
over. You think?
Yeah,
they might filter
right.
But again, that's not my point. What I'm saying is that we're in the process across the board of losing our freedoms in the name of preserving the Union, preserving the United States. We have to destroy the village in order to save it. The point is that, and again, we're going to talk about this a little bit, but the senators agree to revive an immigration bill is one of these things. Pentagon explores using military for U.S. border security. The sheriff's posse in Arizona, the 250 people have gone out, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then the
domestic wiretapping
and so forth is all involved in this.
Well, that's not spying.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing about it that people don't realize is, number one, even when you put the wall up, let's say I wave a wand and the Great Wall of China or thereabouts is erected from Brownsville to San Diego, 1,800 miles, it's 30, 40 feet high. Do you have any idea what it costs to man something like that? I mean, we're talking about three shifts. Look, I mean, we're talking about, I was listening to the radio today. Somebody said, well, we put a couple of thousand troops on the board. A couple of thousand ain't going to cut it.
Let's ask Israel. Oh, wait a minute. We pay them to do that too, don't we?
Well, that's, all of Israel probably doesn't have an 1,800 mile border. I mean, the thing about it is you don't realize the magnitude of this. Is 1,800 miles. We're talking about putting a minimum of 10,000 troops on the thing 24/7. That's 30,000 troops right there. You got to pay those. And of course, they're American. I mean, that's troops. Those are people that are not going to be maybe good news and bad news, but not going to be in Korea or Iraq or something like that. Where do you get these guys? So you federal
Mexico.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the National Guard are going to be like...
But then the question comes is, what happens when somebody starts to breach the wall? You know, like a Hagar cartoon, you know, where they come up with the ladders and they start to storm the wall. Do you shoot them? I mean, do you blast them? Is it killing fields? Do you loose the hounds on them, you know, Mr. Burns?
I mean, no.
But no, my point is that it's going to cost billions of dollars. Forget the wall itself. It's going to cost billions to man it. And people, okay, say it's worth it. But then what have you gotten? What have you lost?
What have you gained?
Right. Right. Out of all this. And
if you're in a wall building company,
produce concrete.
Well, you know, it's what I do find interesting is that the one of the largest concrete makers in the world is Mexicam or whatever the hell it is. It's in Mexico.
Right.
Centimax, I think it's
called. Sound concrete.
Well, no, they could sell concrete to build the wall, I guess. Yeah.
And when you spray this special thing on it, it dissolves.
Right.
It's called water.
Yeah. Exactly. Let me tell you why I thought at least one of the big libertarians, it's interesting how when libertarians fight each other, so to speak, one of them's a post-mortem or something, in memoriam. Harry Brown died, you know, a couple months ago. And one of his famous sayings that I lived and died by just about was that the dollar is only legal tender in the United States. Neil Bortz today on his website says, and one of the bad things is these rotten Mexicans coming up here working and sending $20 billion a year back to Mexico. Money that, as he says, money that does not get spent to create jobs here in the United States. Well, that's BS. I'm sorry. It does. That money goes back there, but it's dollars. They have to be spent in this country. I'm sorry. I've talked to people that said, well, you know, down in Mexico, you can use dollars to buy, you know, your hacienda or your dog food or beer or whatever it is. Fine. All well and good. Think about it for a second, folks. If the beer guy, the guy that sells you the beer, what's he doing? Okay, so it goes through 9 people. It has to come back to the United States eventually. That $20 billion, I can tell you, and it's not eventually about it. It comes back in about 10 minutes. It comes back, and it creates a job that you don't see.
That's the most important thing.
No. Let me put it this way. If somebody's working for it, somebody wants it. It's simple.
But not you or not me. $7 an hour to dig up a tree.
Let me tell you, here in Gainesville, it's interesting. When you go on the Channel 12 here and they're looking for people to do jobs, a lot of those jobs are $7 and a half and $8 an hour. They work for the city. Of course, you get benefits and so forth. Mm-hmm. But still, my point is that even... Neil, people are wrong about this. If you ship $20 billion to Mexico, the money comes back here. That's not money that goes away. And to use that as an argument is false. There's a lot of arguments you can use, but that's not one of them.
Well, perhaps what they're suggesting is it's just not staying here.
It comes right back.
But it does leave. So instead of having an American take the job or a Mexican take the job and spend the money the next day here, he takes the money and sends it back to Mexico.
Right.
So there is the lag time. I mean,
okay, there's a lag time, so what?
I don't disagree with you. I'm suggesting that, you know, you have to take that in consideration.
Well, the governments always want it now, which is one of the reasons. I think we talked a little bit about this last time, and I don't want to digress into the inheritance tax or any of these other things, but I'm going to mention this one thing, and that is the inheritance tax is one of those things that they get the money when you die, but if they'd wait another generation, they'd get it anyway. You know, in 20 years, they'd get it anyway. They get all the money. It accretes to the government at one level or another. But they never want to wait. So here's this thing, and you just mentioned this. You send $20 billion to Mexico, so you might have to wait 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 2 months to get the money back. It's coming back here. It's got to, and it's going to create a job. All money, remember, is wages.
And it's not coming back, as EJ, I think, was mentioning, to hire. They're not buying plants that other Mexicans are doing. It's not like it's feeding its own economy. They're going to buy something. They have to buy something in America.
They have to pay rent for America. Right. They have to buy gasoline.
They're going
to
buy all that stuff in Mexico. But I'm just saying, in other words, they have to buy something that they don't make in Mexico. Right. And they're going to buy Levi's jeans, and they're going to buy Jack Daniels, and they're going to buy whatever else. That's not...
It doesn't do them any good to buy, you know, hoses or something. Yeah. They got those there.
Right.
But that's the point, is it creates jobs in other... It has to create jobs here because all money is wages. Ultimately, that's all it's used for. If you... As again, when you buy a hose, the hose doesn't get the money. It's the guy who makes
it. How much
does she get? Yeah, right. The hose, that's right. Good point.
Sorry, my mind is
wandering. No, that's okay. But the thing about it that I look at this, and I've talked about this a little bit, the senators, of course, George Bush is going to give a talk tonight, and it's probably started about 3 minutes ago, and I don't bother listening to it because it's not going to make any difference.
We know what he's going to say.
We know what he's going to say.
He's not going to say anything he hasn't already said, right.
But one of the things that the questions that come up are enforcement versus citizenship. A lot of people want to, as I say, use the Hagar thing, and they want to close the border, send them home. Bing. Okay, that ain't going to happen. I'm sorry, that ain't going to happen. And the people complain. You have to ask yourself, why are people complaining? And the ostensible reason is that they're coming in and they're using up all the schools. So they're breaking the system in the school system, and they're using up all our emergency rooms. It's the hospitalization and the school system. Well, what does this tell you? It tells you that socialism doesn't work.
Well, it also, but this is not necessarily correct, Jimmy. I have to point out that when critics are saying, oh, they're using up all these services and they're not paying. No. What's really happening is these people are paying taxes because these taxes are being withheld from a lot of these companies. A lot of these Mexicans, they do have sort of semi-legitimate jobs. And their bosses are paying taxes to keep the government off their back. They never, ever collect their tax refund at the end of the year because they're scared to death that if they do, they're done. So that's billions of dollars every year that never get taken up by them. And they've actually, you know, considering they've worked and they paid the taxes, it's their due. But because they're illegal, they don't bother.
Well, I can tell you that one of Newt Gingrich has talked about this a little bit, and he says this is one way to get at the employers. They want to have a way to get at the employers. Draconian measures, as somebody says. They basically want to shoot the employer if you hire illegal aliens. I mean, they're going to cart him off. Big fines,
big
put him
fines,
out of business, whatever. Well, then they want to say, well, what happens if the employer legitimately didn't know? The guy comes in with a green card. And it looks absolutely real.
Because
they
simply take the picture off and put on this. And
well,
that,
it may
and
turn out that they're actually getting them from somebody in the green card department of the United States.
Right. I mean, so whatever.
The point is that they want to say, well, we'll have minimal fines for that employer. I'm thinking, well, what are you talking about? Well, that's not fair. I mean, here's the guy, in all honesty, and of course
you think it has something to do with intention?
Well, I mean, his intention was to hire legals, and he did. He did everything he was supposed to hire legals. He got the right paperwork. He takes the taxes. He sends it to Washington. And, of course, Washington says, wait, we don't have any Social Security number like this. But they don't bother to tell the guy. I mean, so he does it. Nobody ever told him that this Social Security number didn't exist or however. I'm saying that some of the people they want to fine or otherwise sanction employers who, in all honesty, are trying to do the right thing. And I think that's a mistake. So now you're talking about the employers who know damn well that they're doing something illegal.
I've talked for a while.
They're totally under the radar. I mean, they're not putting any taxes in Washington.
I talked for a while about the fact that you can be prosecuted in this country in spite of what your intentions are.
I know that.
Ignorance is no defense.
Well, but I'm saying they're going to put that in the law. That in fact, no matter what your intention was, if this happened, you at least are subject to a small fine, you know, a couple hundred thousand, whatever it is, nothing.
Per employee.
For whatever it is. What I've talked about is the system as it is broken. I've talked about this before. The education system
is broken.
And people are in total, as the worst alcoholic drunk in the world, are in denial. The education school boards around the country in total denial.
We're talking about immigration.
We are. But I'm talking about denial now. And the system, the education system, which is where the people are complaining, they're saying they're filling up the schools with all these kids.
Oh, so it's the Mexicans' fault that all the teachers, all the states failed the...
But see, socialism doesn't work. And the hospitals, they're saying they're filling up the emergency rooms because they're coming across the border having their kids. And then the other thing that Newt and other people want to do is if you're born in, just because you're born in this country doesn't make you a citizen. Well, they're going to have to change the Constitution for that one. That's in the Constitution. So that's, you're going to have another amendment number 29 or 30 or whatever the next one is to do that. That's okay. That's fine and well and good. We've changed the Constitution before. My point is that the system is broken and it's only an admission. We only need now an admission. And my thinking is the way it's going to happen, if not any other way, is that the Mexicans or the Guatemalans and the Hondurans and all those people that are coming up here now from down there are going to break the system. And that's fine as far as I'm concerned. I say break it. And then that people will get the message. And maybe we'll get out of the government run school system and maybe we'll stop telling people that they get free health care, even United States citizens. It's not free. It costs money. It's my money you're using. And socialism is socialism. And I don't care if it's for my next door neighbor or my fellow citizens here in Gainesville or Florida or in the United States. It's still socialism. And just because you happen to be a God-fearing, whatever it is, you know, United States citizen, you don't get paid for health care on my nickel. And I don't care if you're from out of the country or in the country.
Amen, Jimmy.
So I'm saying that the system needs to go, that the socialism part of the United States needs to go away. And we had it for 150 years. We didn't have socialism in this country. Now we do. And it need, and the only way to, this, they're not going to voluntarily say, the people, 535 people in Washington, D.C. are not going to wake up one morning and say, you know something? What's the problem? The root problem here is the fact that we're giving away health care and we're not paying for it, or we're giving away education and the indoctrination system that we use here. And what we probably ought to do is just privatize it, because privatization works and everything else is privatized. And when we, of course, we holler and scream and jump up and down when Morales in Bolivia nationalizes the oil and land. And, you know, when we think about it, actually, the education system here is the same thing as we've nationalized the education system. We've nationalized healthcare for all intents and purposes. We only have one more little Ted Kennedy step to go before to make it official, you know, Hillary Clare or whatever it is. But I mean, one more little thing and it'll be totally social. But, you know, when you think about it, nationalization doesn't work. And every time that a country has sold off the stuff that it had nationalized, witness under Margaret Thatcher in Great Britain when they sold off the railroads, they sold off the coal mines. And sure, the people that are sitting there, the railroad people that are not doing anything, the people that are on their feather bedding, we used to call it feather bedding in the old days. Yeah, those people get hurt, but they weren't working for a living anyway. They don't have to go get a legitimate job. So socialism, we know, has been proven with Aristotelian precision, doesn't work. In this country, we have socialism in education, we have socialism in healthcare, and the fact is that the Mexicans happen to be coming in and riding this gravy train, and I'm saying if they're the ones that break the camel's back, to mix a metaphor, fine. Then that's what it's going to take. Because
donkey's
the guys
back.
Because the Washington, you know, right, the burro, because the guys, the 535 people in Washington ain't going to do it. Anything else?
In terms of immigration, I'd have this one comment to make about all these left-wing, tree-hugging, screaming women who can't, women's rights around the world. I just found out that almost every female that comes across illegally gets raped.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Where did you get this?
Fox News and from another source I read.
So what are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about, this is the thing, man. You got these girls, they come across, they look okay in a tight little sombrero and a hat thing. And
a tight little sombrero.
What I was saying.
It's so long,
but that's in
called
Brazil.
A ski mask.
Called a little bitty head.
So again, look. No. I couldn't believe it, man. Where's Hillary Clinton? Where's Hillary screaming now?
Hillary,
I can't understand it.
But all those guys are hypocrites. They're total hypocrites. They'll say, these people don't only talk out of one side. They talk about nine sides of their mouth.
They talk out of their
simultaneously.
Asses, but I still had to point that out. I just couldn't believe it. It was the first time I've never heard of it. It never occurred to me, but of course it makes sense. You're two chicks, 30 guys, you're sneaking across the desert, drunk on tequila. Well, I'm sorry, you know, if they'd have brought a donkey, the donkey would be walking funny.
Right.
I just had to, come on, America. Come on, women. Why don't I hear
come
you
on,
screaming
America.
Now?
Well, I... That's one happy horse.
When you got 30 little Mexicans on it, what are you going to do?
Where do you find this stuff, man?
I don't know where he finds it.
I don't know. And the other thing is that immigration is, I don't understand how we're so stuck on the Mexican portion of this. It's everybody.
Well, the thing about it is that they...
What about Canada? We should construct a big wall there?
No, they do. That's in fact, but Newt wants to do that.
I think that's even a longer border.
No, come on.
No, he does. I'm serious. He was on, as God is my witness, yesterday, he was on C-SPAN.
That's even a bigger border to cover.
No, I don't think so.
What about a floating wall?
Maybe it is. You're right, it is. It is. It's probably almost 2,800 miles long.
What about a floating wall out in the ocean?
Well, that's true, too. I mean, the Coast Guard, of course, does that. Well, that's what the Coast Guard's for.
Right.
Of course, we have to have 10,000 ships out there, Coast Guard, with
sinking
guns.
Sinking people,
right. You know,
just shooting them.
That's right.
Right.
You know, Haitian coming in here in a cardboard box, blasting.
Water cannon.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, no, you wish. No. It's target.
There's some other ones. Hey, see, this guy's kind of doing here. Let him try it for a little while.
That's right. You need a little target practice.
Just hold this trigger down here.
Yeah.
And so when the tracer bullets go, you have to kind of watch them tracer bullets.
How can you shoot women and children? oh, it's... You just don't lead him as much.
Yeah, that's right. You squint so you don't see him.
No, no, it was from, what was it, Apocalypse Now or something.
Is that right?
Like. Yeah. Yeah, they're in the Huey. He goes, man, how can you shoot women and children? The guy goes, you just don't lead him as much.
Yeah. They're not as fast.
Right,
right,
exactly.
That's right, so that's right. That's good. But I think, again, there are so many things on so many levels wrong with this immigration thing. The Pentagon, of course, is wants to use the military on the border now. And they have the posses down there. What do they call them? The Minutemen?
The Minutemen.
They have 250. People don't understand. Literally, if you do the math, it's an 1,800-mile border. If you have one person per mile, that's 1,800. But, I mean, by all intents and purposes, you got to have 10 per mile. That's 18,000 people. Okay, think about it. 18,000 people.
Plus the support troops. I mean,
wait. Plus the camp followers. And, of course, they come from Mexico, so that's important. But, no, the deal is, so you got 18,000. That's an 8-hour shift, so you're talking almost 60,000 people, just the guards. That's 60,000 AK... Well, no, we're not... They
that's
don't
more
get,
that died in Vietnam.
M-16s, please.
M-16s, right. I mean, there's 60,000 people working on the border, mm-hmm. you know, around... And that's just the Mexican border now.
Right.
So, and then I'm asking, you know, do you shoot them, kill them, right. dogs?
That's the question. I mean, what are you honestly going to do?
Okay, now I know what we do. There's so many pit bulls that, you know, the government is about to crack down in several states. We collect them all. Put those spiked necklaces and those spiked collars on them.
And do what with them?
Put them on the border.
To do what?
A Mexican's going
to
cross the border with a pit bull looking at him?
Yeah. Okay, well, of course, you got to be careful that the pit bull, as long as it's in attack mode, that doesn't turn around and get whoever's doing...
Build a fence on this side of the country and put the dogs on that side.
Okay, good plan. Let me move along here. What I think about a lot about this stuff that's interesting is that, of course... The military doing domestic stuff is illegal. It has been, you know, for over 150, about 150 years.
But this is the thing I didn't quite understand in that statement. I thought that the National Guard was precisely
the National Guard
for
is,
that purpose.
Those are state people. That's okay. But that's not the National Guard. What is it? That's a good question.
Exactly. You can use
the National Guard for local stuff, but the National Guard, remember, is state-oriented. It's not federal. Yeah, federal troops are not supposed to be used on domestic soil.
They're talking about using National Guard.
Yeah, but they're going to federalize them, right. Which is bad. But I thought it was interesting that the officials that they talk about this, they all request anonymity on a lot of stuff. And my question is, there are no details. It says here, the National Guard, let's see, particularly the National Guard along the border with Mexico, according to defense officials, familiar with discussions, the officials who requested anonymity because the matter has not been made public. And I'm thinking, well, it looks public to me. I heard about it. It's right here. You know, it's
I don't work for the government.
Lolita Bandor wrote about it here in the paper. So anyway, it says about 170 National Guard troops are helping in such efforts in the state now. This is one
for
of the
drug, yeah, for drug thingamajigs.
No, this is for the border, but I mean 170. Now, wait a minute, think about it. 170 people are
going to... That's 1 mile.
That's 1 mile right there, right. Arizona. Again, one of the things that always amazes me is it has when I read Parkinson's Law, which is one of my very favorite books, and this is a parallel, that people can understand what a mile is, 2 miles. But you talk about a million miles, it goes into a million miles to people is the same as 10,000 miles. No clue.
Right.
But it actually is a difference. I mean, and so when you start to put the numbers to it and try and put it in perspective, it makes a big difference. And I think that if you talk about 60,000 troops on the border 24/7, plus all the support, the kitchen people, the food that has to be down there. I mean, like there were chili peppers down there.
Electricity. Soldier, three support.
I mean, okay,
there you are.
Soldier, an amazing
three
amount of like,
support.
Okay, yeah,
you got to have three people.
Okay,
hooking
so that's,
that
so
that's
now 60, we're talking. So. Now we're talking 240. That's more people than are in Iraq right now.
Right.
Okay. That's to protect the border. Now, so we bring them all home from Iraq. I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. Plus, forget the bricklayers and the maintenance people that are keeping the wall up, and nobody's going to dig a tunnel under it.
Oh yeah, no.
No, that wouldn't happen.
That's Mexicans don't tunnel.
Yeah, that's illegal, man.
That's right. And, of course, nobody's going to go around it. And, I mean, do you think about it? It's just what a joke this is. I mean,
all to keep out the Mexicans.
All to keep out, well, the Honduran.
Oh, hey, where's my friend Cheech, man? Hello.
What is this?
It was the This is actually the Green Band song. Hey, how long are you going to be over here? A week?
A week?
Well, that's the other thing. They're always
drugs in here.
But that's the other thing that, again, it has to do with the Hagar cartoon in some respect, and that is they say, well, gosh, why don't they just, you know, why are these people going to go ahead of those people that have been doing legally? You know, they've been going to the consulates and they've been getting the paper. Well, people don't understand. That system is also broken. And we talked about this a couple shows ago. It takes months to do it, and they still say no. They say no to the nicest people on the planet, the people that are legal. They should let those people in, rubber stamp those people in that actually go to the consulate.
Yeah, as I said, it's a bad law, so you shouldn't worry about the people that have broken it.
There you go. So we're done with that. Okay. Wow. No, that's good. I like that. But no, seriously, I
can't believe it. That was one of the most profound things I've heard all day.
No, that's good. But I was also in this Avondale, Arizona article, the 250 member sheriff's posse that was assembled to catch Aleva Gurmaz.
There's another mile.
Okay. They made one arrest.
Yeah.
They made one arrest. Wait a minute now. The posse is made up of trained volunteers.
I bet they arrested as their own guy.
I don't know. Despite night vision equipment.
Hey, man, you take one for the team.
You come back and then you bring you back and then you come back next month. Okay?
We had to get somebody.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. Deputies attempted to pull over a pickup truck about 12:45 a.m. Thursday, but the truck took off in the desert and 15 to 20 occupants scattered. Only one person was tracked down despite night vision equipment, spotlights, and a helicopter. Now, I mean, I want to know how much that cost to get that one person. 19 of them got away.
And of course,
like $2,000 an hour.
Yeah, and then exactly. The sheriff says, if they were trying to obey the law, why are they running? What are you talking about?
Texas, Arizona, New Mexico.
Why are they running?
Yeah, why are they running? God almighty. Come back. We won't hurt you.
I wish we had the thing. I wish we had the clip from Die Hard 1 where the guy, right at the beginning of the movie, where the German guy goes up to find Bruce Willis after he sets the fire alarm. Mm-hmm. And the fire trucks turn around. The guy comes up, and he's got the stuff on his back, and he says, come on out now. I won't hurt you. And then he goes around and he blasts away. I
mean, exactly.
Come on out now. I won't hurt you.
Did you hear about the parrot stuff?
Well, I did.
You're referring to the Australian wind farm, right?
Yes. Yes, the Australian wind farm.
Here, I found the solution while reading that article.
Tell them what the problem is first.
Wait a minute. I want to. The Australian wind farm, they've voided it.
Uh-huh.
The big
$250 million energy producing
voided,
thing.
Gone. And the reason was they ran a cost analysis or whatever they call it. They figured that in 1,000 years, because of an endangered species parrot, the Australian blue or whatever it is.
The orange belly beak, whatever.
Whatever it is. And they figured that this parrot, one parrot per 1,000 years would die. Okay, now parrots live a long time, but, you know, I'm figuring if it's a 900-year-old parrot, it's probably about its time.
Right.
I mean, if it can't avoid the thing, it's an old parrot.
So they killed the wind farm because they're worried about a parrot dying?
Right, yeah.
By hitting the wind farm?
Flying through? One per 1,000 years.
Parrots are stupid. They can speak, but they're stupid, and they won't miss the windmill.
But, I mean, would it be a dead parrot?
Look, my lad, I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
Wait, I think I got another one.
No more. It has ceased to be. It's expired and gone to meet its maker. This is a late parrot.
It's a late parrot.
It's a late parrot. That, in case you guys are, that is so funny. That is from the hard-to-find parrot sketch from, like, the 70s from Monty Python. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that is hysterical. I love that.
Okay, so they killed the wind farm.
They killed it. Of course, they're killing the wind farm up in Kennedy Land because they don't want to look out
there.
They
don't want to endanger Ted Kennedy.
They don't want to. Well, he was endangered by lightning. Did you hear that? His plane got
stuck. Yeah.
No,
is God missing this guy?
Yes.
A bridge. He has to stand on his girlfriend's shoulders to survive.
Right, that's right. He's protected by the devil.
Oh, yes, exactly. I mean, Zeus.
I've never seen anything like this.
And he survived.
It was like a citation.
It was a jet, a little jet.
Yeah.
And I mean, Zeus bolted lightnings at his plate. And the guy still made it. And of course, nobody named Kennedy can get a break. What was this other thing I saw here? Here's a carjacking in the Washington Post or something like that. Another Kennedy. These guys escaped from a mental ward and did a carjack. And they found him with 7 guns, 70. He went out and wanted to kill people. His name was Kennedy. I'm serious. This is a guy, you know, District Police Michael Kennedy found a few rows down the road and walked through the gate loaded with 7 guns and a determination to shoot every police officer who came his way. He fired more than 70 times. Many of those bullets struck home, mortally wounding a detective and Kennedy. Okay, well, you know, what can you say? And you don't want to have that.
He's shooting the wrong Kennedy.
Well, you know, it's funny because isn't Kennedy on the Supreme Court? Isn't he a liberal?
There's a Kennedy, yes.
Yes.
Yes, so, well, there you have it. Okay. I tell you, this is Death Watch or something. I don't know what. Anyway, let me get back to the environmental stuff.
Okay, but well, I did have a solution to this problem with the wind farm. Why don't they put, like, screens up?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Screens don't stop the wind.
What they can do is they can put a wall all the way around.
Right.
Yes, we talked about it.
A wall of screen.
Well, no. We're going to put solid wall. Because the screen would still get holes in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we're going to put a solid wall around it.
Right.
Why don't they just take that fat asshole Ted Kennedy, put him on a treadmill, and have him generate power from Massachusetts?
Is it? And we can't run on 1 watt.
That's right.
I'm not talking about his brain power. I'm talking about his ass power.
Well, half a watt, sorry.
Half a watt, right.
He's a sub-watt.
What you do is you tie a rope around him.
He's got a deficit of watts.
And you drop him from, like, a blimp, a balloon, and you have a generator on it.
The problem is you have to get him up there first. You know, remember, this is called kinetic.
It takes more energy to lift his ass than to drop him.
That is, in fact.
Well, no, because.
Okay, I don't know if any of you know, but I've seen Ted. I've met this man. This man walks like a penguin.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's still up.
I solved the way to get him up there. See, he blows so much hot air. All you got to do is just give him his own balloon.
That's right. He's a gas bag.
He's definitely a bag.
Yeah. Well, look, we do not want to engage in ad hominem attacks here. So right. I'm going to go back to this other thing though. The species amid extinctions, parrots, panthers get costly. Now we talked about this years ago on my radio show about the panthers. My solution always has been. Round up the 12. Well, yeah, panther
Fruit
coat.
Coats,
a
roads.
Panther coat would be nice.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what are you going to say?
Yeah. Well, how much was it that we paid for each panther that we saved here?
Well, Florida? Here it says here
2.5.
No. 5. It was that, but it's right here in the
4.9.
Is it 4.9 million?
Yes.
And of course that was done with the tag. I think a lot of it was with the panther tag.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
They had a license.
The one
tag.
Of the 53 license plates.
For those of you who don't know, there's about 23 Florida panthers left here in the state.
I think my solution, at least 5 years ago, was to call them Texas Panthers and move them over to Texas because they are like one small, not even a half of a molecule. In the DNA chain, different from Texas panthers. I mean,
so they can breed,
right?
Oh, totally,
totally,
totally, totally breed. I mean, and I'll tell you, it's kind of like, and then Texas panthers anyway. They're kind of sexy. I mean, I think that's what I heard.
You just like the name.
Well, that's
you know
true.
What? As soon as the second one of those panthers mauls a young girl, they'll all be gone.
They're all gone.
That's true. Well, I think that somebody ran over one or something like that. But I think that
it was a Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah, 4.9 million to protect the endangered Florida. It's the most expensive, but the California condor was 1.6 million per bird.
Huh.
But what this goes on to is the $20 million was to retrain Keiko, the killer whale.
Oh, that was brilliant. Let's
Keiko
save Willie.
Right. Died of pneumonia 18 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that's $1 million a month.
Right.
I mean, I could use that.
I'm endangered. There's only one of me that I know
about.
There
you go.
I'll train a killer whale for half that.
But I think one of the things in this article, it says here, there are cases where we have emotional attachments to animals, but we don't care about rare microorganisms or worms. But, of course, we do. And here is, yes.
Yes, big science news.
Big
here.
Science news. Science Honolulu, note. Hawaii, 12 species of flies get federal protection.
Ooh.
Can I have flies with that?
Well, it's all about the land, of course. Yeah, exactly. Raider, there's a fly in my soup. Can you imagine? Well, that's one of the endangered ones.
Ooh, this is it. Can you imagine if you smack your head? Oh, here comes the endangered police.
Oh, no.
You killed an endangered species.
Well, these are picture-wing flies of which they're 2 to 3 times the size and the size of a common house fly and are considered harmless to humans.
Exactly.
But they have elaborate performances when mating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have, they're 6 of the newly protected. But, I mean, federal are around Oahu, each on Kauai, Molokai, and Maui, and so forth. Native to Big Island, where one of the three species was thought to be extinct before a very small population was located in 1993.
Oh, thank God.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, they stopped the Toggenbee Dam in Tennessee because of the snail darter. And then they had to let it go because they found another snail darter population in some other state. I mean, think about this. These are flies.
Mm-hmm. But now, understand, I mean, they have this incredible thing that they grow. It's some fungus that fights infection.
Well, that may be.
If they did...
Hold on, I got it.
Is that illegal?
I'm sorry.
If they
did, then
they would be valuable, and some entrepreneur would buy them and breed them.
That's illegal now. Stuff.
But that's illegal. No, I mean,
you can no longer. You cannot breed.
Well, they have some government agency to do it then.
Well, what they want to do is, when you think about it, though, it's all about the land. What they want to do is they want to set aside, 100,000 acres, 200,000 acres for these flies.
Just one island.
Yeah, just one. Just one.
No. That's multiple
islands. Well, it's just six islands.
Yeah.
Just six of the 12.
Or seven,
right.
Well, here's the thing. Well, my question is, what did the judge calculate as being the cost?
It's incalculable. Don't you understand?
It's incalculable. That's the thing. It's incalculculable, so it doesn't matter.
That was the quote.
Yeah, that was the quote from the judge. It's incalculable. So
$50 trillion.
$50 trillion? No problem.
No. That's a number.
You can buy the Mona Lisa, but you cannot buy a fly.
That's it. And as people, a lot of people say, well, so often I hear this, if just one life is saved, it's worth it.
Yeah, I know.
If we kill 5,000 people and save one life.
There we go. What I'm wondering is...
High caliber, I like that one.
Yeah, there's two things to consider here. One is, what happens if we run out there with just an airplane full of DDT and get rid of
them? You spend the rest of your life in jail.
That's number one. Okay, number two is...
send a UAV over.
How do they count them? I mean, do they have like... See, bird watching,
them.
I can... They tag them, mm-hmm. or they put little transmitters on, little GPS things.
With a little camera. Well,
they catch them with tiny little nets.
No, I tell you what they use. They use fly paper. They count the number of flies on there and divide by 38 and multiply by 2,000 and then take the square root and the differential equation of the difference, and that's how they come up with this number.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. It's perfect mathematics.
anybody can do that.
They computer model it.
Right.
What they do is they put fly paper all over the island, and then they can figure out the density that way, of course, by the number of... Well, the problem that they've got, of course, is, as you know, that since they check these things fairly regularly, a lot of times the flies are still alive on the fly paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is when you pick them off, their wings come off.
Yeah.
But they can still mate.
Right.
So they kind of let them loose on the ground, or they put them in a jar or something like that.
Right.
But they get to crawl around kind of wingless, you know, and everything. But their pretty wings are on the fly paper.
But they keep the pretty wings. They put them in a frame, picture frame wings.
No question about it. No, they laminate them. And they sell them as tourist things on the big island. You didn't know that?
I say we go over there with a 200-foot bug zapper. Just turn it on, solar powered. Charge it up during the day, night, no problem.
Yeah, it would. I mean, one of the things about endangered species is once they're no more there, they're not endangered anymore.
Yeah.
No problem solved. Problem solved.
Well, it's all, but they'll find something. But I mean, the thing that got me about this is the articles, how they conflict with one another. You know, everybody loves the cute looking little panda because they got the Jesse James patch on or whatever.
I'll take that road.
But they do, in fact, protect, they're down to microbes and as I say, the flies.
The only microbes I care about were those ones we were talking about with the magnetic electricity producing
bacteria. Yes, did we talk about that?
Not yet,
okay.
But I want to get to that eventually.
Let me just see if I've got that here. Does this have to do with the endangered species? Of course, they can put them in a zoo.
Huh?
Sometimes what they'll do is when a species is really endangered, they raise them in captivity. And so there's a bunch of them like that now that they raise. There are several species, I don't know, goats and something like that, I forget what they are, that are raised only in captivity. Well, Shanghai, I don't know if you know this, but I guess because of an endangered species, Shanghai is preparing for a human zoo. Did you see that?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. What they've got is they've got four Australian men will live in a glass box on a downtown mall for 2 weeks in June. with the public able to watch them sleeping, eating, and bathing, a news report said Thursday.
They blew it, man. It should have been four Australian women.
Well, that's number one.
It should have been four Swedish bikini model women.
Well, I'm wondering if these Australians are Aborigines. Are they original Australians? I mean, what I'm saying is it's a human zoo.
They're British Australians.
They're British. Okay, they're crown. From the crown or whatever.
They're criminals from the crown.
That's right. Well, the group known as the Urban Dream Capsule has drawn crowds with similar displays in London, Montreal, Hong Kong, and other cities. They won't turn off the lights or pull down the curtains. They show their whole life from getting up to going to bed. I mean, this endangered species thing. People like to watch them taking a shower.
Hmm.
So they shower at least two times a day, Chang said. Of course, one can't see the key parts.
Right.
Because there is a non-transparent glass in the bathroom. And, of course, what they do, the public can send them emails, faxes, or put messages on the glass. I mean, because you have to learn how to write backwards.
Yeah, if I was a message on the glass.
Yeah, it'd be like, put some clothes on, you sick prick. I'm sick of seeing that.
No, but I'm just saying, the thing is that, could you imagine, I mean, if we tried to, like, put, like, say, four hot chicks in the mall down here, it is the same type of thing.
Well, they have, of course, they have those in the Penny's window and the lingerie thing.
And I know, we did a show on one of those, and
in England. They pulled them. Yeah,
they pulled them in Maine, too.
In Maine, that's what it was, Maine. Yeah. Yeah, well, you wouldn't want to see anybody's body.
No.
Especially here
clothed.
In Florida when it gets hot.
They were clothed. But, I mean, I certainly would be more inclined to go to the mall shopping if there was female showering down there.
You think?
Well, yeah.
Soap suds.
Yeah. I'd go down there and
put them in the fountain,
in
a big bubble bath.
You know.
The next thing you know, you'd have mud wrestling or something.
Right.
Yeah. Cats and dogs living together.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, you know, but do you think they'd ever let us do that?
No.
No.
No, they don't. Not in the United States of America.
No. Not freedom. In the land of freed.
Land of free and home of the brave. That's right.
No.
Okay, I'm done with that. Anything else you got on that particular item there, the endangered species? Environmental. Nope. It's all about the land, I'm telling you right now. It's all about the land. The hikers love it when, I love to see this land, when you go to the land and it says government land, whatever. It says park.
Public land.
No admittance.
No admittance. Yeah, right.
You see it all the time. You see it around here?
No, I know.
You
yeah.
cannot remove a pine cone.
Oh, you can't pick up an eagle feather. Do you know if you
yes.
pick one up?
It's a federal offense.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's, and you know, if you run away, I mean, they can shoot you. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's custard. Look, I
you know you
what,
have
I
to
only...
prove the provenance of eagle feathers, like as you do with Chinese Ming Dynasty stuff, to prove that it's an old, I don't know, your DNA, carbon dated,
right.
You know, to make sure that it's was before the law was passed. Same thing with ivory and all that stuff.
I tell you what, they should have on that list, or they should take off the list and open season on as the gator.
That's right. What we had 3 deaths down here in the last 2 days.
And 17
human
over
death.
The past...
Human, that's what I meant, human. Yeah, human death.
17 total over the past 58 years.
We've got these lakes around here that are just chock full of gators.
They are now.
And there's a slight drought
were.
Going on, which is causing worse problems.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's the drought.
It's a drought?
Well, they say that the Everglades are normally a lot more full with water right now, and so the alligators are kind of shifting east.
I didn't know that.
Mm, that's what
well,
they say.
We should get some of that water from New England.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true. They should pipe it
down.
No,
I mean, it is as bad as Hurricane Katrina up
right.
there in southern Maine and Massachusetts. I mean,
we put the alligators up there.
Good plan.
There you go.
Good plan.
I still say we put the alligators on the border.
That's an idea. Well, you saw that picture you sent me, the 23-footer?
Yeah.
That thing must have weighed tons.
Okay, 1,000 pounds.
That was 23 inches. They just held it up in front of the camera.
Yeah, that's what matters. They had a new lens. New lens.
It was an ugly gecko.
Maybe we'll post that picture on the show in case anybody wants to see it.
Are we going to go out?
Yeah, we're going to go out right now. All right.
All right. Now, listen, we may be coming back here in a few minutes.
There's a lot more stuff to talk about.
We got tons more. I did want to talk about
this. Split this up so you guys can burn a CD of this show if you want.
Right. The oil business in Venezuela and Bolivia and all that stuff. And then education has to do with the cell phone ban, et cetera.
Right.
So we're going to see about, we might do another show here in a few minutes.
A quickie one after this.
Yeah, but of course, if you're listening to this show, it may not be posted for another 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours or a day or more, depending on if we can get young Eric and pay him double his salary.
Again.
So I want to say hello to Stephen Molyneux. Don't forget freedomain.com. Hanger Dogs, as always.
Yeah. And Patty.
And Patty, yes. Uh-huh. Patty, thank you so much. And we've got another couple of to talk about those too.
Yep.
Okay. Bye bye. See you next
later.
Time.
Yeah.
When I drive New York City, hey, I'm gonna really try, don't you? I'm gonna do something to you now.